I was pumping water on Lane, I had the motor. So I stopped and went to the scullery door and had a look, and gosh, there's a big van. And on the side of the van was printed Church of Scotland in the arc and canteen in the middle room below it. So anyway, out came this big tall lady, I can see her yet, and she had a kind of tweed herringbone coat on. She had light kind of brown boots up to her knees, or I don't know why they get, but it's their knees anyway. And she asked me if there's anybody about. So I ran in the manse anyway, and I got the minister, Steen, what she was wanting was looking for accommodation, because she had five different dogs with her, and she was looking for accommodation because she drove the local canteen. So anyway, the minister said that he would accommodate her anyway, so in a few days' time she moved back again with her dogs and other belongings and stuff into the manse. So when I was pumping this water a few weeks, I can't mind you, later, she asked me if I would be able to polish her shoes. So I said, oh, surely. So she said she'll give me, in that case, 2 and 6 months a week for polishing her 6 pair of shoes. I polished her shoes for a while, and then she asked me if I would take some more dogs for a walk. I said, oh, can do indeed. So I mind plainly, I took 3 dogs at one time and 2 dogs at another time, out in the links, you know, just for a walk around. And I mind one dog was called Foopy. Time went on, and oh, she was very good to me. We got some wide strange sweeties, and I mind that Bart and my sister Nancy and myself, we got a tin of Gibbs toothpaste. Time went on, took her dogs for walks and all that, not knowing that she was a German spy. That only came out later. But she had her dogs named after all different headlands around Scapa Flow. And at the same time, we didn't know that there's another German spy, or a lady that was presumed to be a German spy, in Knockhall Cottage. So this lady in Knockhall Cottage, just to go divert a little bit, lady in Knockhall Cottage, on different occasions at night, in the blackout, it was seen to be, she had a light on in the house. And this was reported to the local policeman. And his name was Robert Tillock, a big, great big, heavy, fat bobby. So anyway, he went there and said that her light was on and put the light out. And, oh yes, that's fine. So that's okay. And a while after, same thing happened again. So he went back there again. And it happened the third time. But the third time it happened, he went into the police, or the red, what they call the red cops, that's the military police, and he told them what was going, and they went to her house, and they did a spot, just a raid. And in her house, upstairs, there were transmitters, receivers, all the kind of paraphernalia that a German spy would need. So then they brought them into Mrs. Heron, because she was a great friend of this lady in the Knockhall Cottage. And Mrs. Heron, she drove the canteen around the island, Grimney's, Hoxha, the Hops, East Side, all around the boat. And anyway, I was working away taking the dogs for walks, and it suddenly came to be that her dogs were not there, just one. And she was stopped with the red caps out in Whitewell, where Martin Arnold is now, with that road. And I mind the canteen was reversed up that road in part, and she was taken away when I was saw her again. Just swept away. And so at the same time, this lady from Knockhall Cottage, she was taken away at the same time. And they were in contact with each other all the time. And that went on for nearly 2 years in the wartime.
During the war, like I said, my Uncle Winston was walking from the Hope up to Bankburn, to the farm of Bankburn, and he walked up past the Bothy, just below Blanster House, and he came running up to Bankburn and into his mother and father, and said he heard funny voices coming out the Bothy, and they thought it was because it was dark that he was just imagining things. And a couple of weeks after, they never bothered doing anything about it, and a couple of weeks after, there was a guy billeted at Blanster House, and the army turned up at 4 or 5 in the morning and arrested him and set off with him, and that's the last they knew about it. They was never told why or never seen the guy again. And in, I think it was 1954 or 1955, my father and Austin Houston was cleaning out the bothy because they were going to turn it into a deep litter for hens. And Austin Houston looked up the chimney and he seen something up the chimney and pulled it down. And there was a chairman map container with maps in it, a parachute and a radio stuck up the chimney. And they reckoned, when they put two and two together, that what Winston had heard was chairman voices and had been somebody transmitting to the chairman. And that's what they thought. And a couple of weeks after they heard the voices, that he heard the voices, there was a presentation in the tennis court, some medals and things like that, and it was a very foggy day, and there's two chairman planes came in over Hairston and came up, and they dropped, I think it was 2 or 3 bombs too early because it was foggy, and they heard the machine gun fire and that, but it never came near the tennis court at all. So they reckon it was all being set up, that this presentation of local dignitaries and army ones in the tennis court, they put the whole thing together, that it was exactly the same time. So then that's what they reckoned, that the whole thing had been put together.